Hi, my name is Blaze Miller, and my favorite thing is sweatpants.
Welcome to the Finding Favorites podcast, where we explore your favorite things without using an algorithm. Here's your host, Leah Jones.
Hello, and welcome to Finding Favorites. I'm your host, Leah Jones, and this is the podcast where we learn about people's favorite things and get recommendations without using an algorithm. I'm always excited, but this week I'm super excited because I have one of my OG comedy friends on the podcast with me. Blaze Miller is a Los Angeles-based filmmaker with a bachelor's in theater from Randolph-Macon College and extensive training at the Chicago Second City and I.O. We'll talk more about that. From his Chicago days producing, writing, and acting in live theater to making movies with his comedy group, The Vacationers. Look for It's a Disaster on, I think it's on Amazon, maybe on Netflix. We'll talk about that too.
Yeah.
To making award-winning feature films like Home State, Blaze has been steadily creating original projects and seeing them through to the finish line for over 20 years. His most recent TV credits include HBO's Winning Time and a recurring role on FX's upcoming limited series Clipped. His new project, where he's making his directorial debut, is called Hi, Blaze Miller, and episodes are dropping weekly on Crafty. Hi, Blaze Miller.
Hi, Leah. Thanks for having me.
How are you?
What an intro.
And then, like, halfway through, I remembered we're also birthday twins.
We are birthday twins. Yes, we are.
I remember that every year, so it's almost our birthday.
I know. They come up every year, don't they? I mean, we've known each other. Can we say this? Over 20 years?
Yeah, over 20 years.
Over 20 years from our Chicago days back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, early aughts.
Yeah.
I got here in May of 2002, and I know that it was either my cousin or my roommate, Trisha. One of them had a friend who either had a friend that was in your class at conservatory. Like, I don't remember the connection of why I started coming to see your shows.
Roadhouse?
It was first at Second City,
yeah,
and then I found out about Tequila Roadhouse quickly thereafter, and then I became a regular at the Tequila Roadhouse open mic that you helped produce.
Yeah, and then we moved over to Wise Fools Pub.
Yeah, yeah, but that was, summer of 2002.
Oh, yeah, long time ago. I got out there 2001, mm-hmm. and then left to come out to Los Angeles in 2005, but we've continued our friendship throughout the years, which is nice. And I've had the pleasure of seeing you out here a couple of times. Last time you came, you treated me to a comedy show.
Yeah.
At the Largo.
Dragged you out to see some improv.
Yeah.
That was great.
Oh, was it Dinosaur?
Dinosaur.
Yeah. They were awesome.
They are coming to Chicago to do four shows in Chicago at the Den.
Oh, really?
Yes. So I'm going to three of those four shows.
Awesome.
Am I going to the three shows that will be featuring Jason Mantzoukas? Yes. I'm very predictable. But yeah, so we met, you were doing improv and sketch comedy, and then your group, the group of guys from Tequila Roadhouse, mostly became the group The Vacationers.
Well, you know, that was True Pilsner in Chicago.
Okay.
And then I made the move out here. And a good buddy of mine, Jeff Grace, who was on my Improv Olympic team, mm-hmm. was moving out around the same time. And then we had another Chicago buddy, Kevin Brennan, who came out a year later.
Okay.
And he's a Texas guy, went to UT Austin, and he was good friends with a guy named Todd Berger that had been out here in LA for a while. And the four of us formed the Vacationers. And that led to a bunch of online shorts, and then we made a couple features together, and we're still trying to keep the band together, but life gets in the way sometimes. But we're still all very close, and hopefully gonna collaborate very soon.
Nice. Yeah, so It's a Disaster is available now. I'm gonna say, is it on Freevee? Is it on Vudu? Like, what's it on now?
I think it's streaming on Peacock.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken. Who's got Peacock?
Peacock is the NBC Universal. Yeah.
Last time I saw where it was streaming, I think it was Peacock, but we've been on Hulu, mm-hmm. Amazon. We keep on jumping around. We're trying to do the tour of streaming apps. We're hoping for Paramount next.
Nice. Because I got it on TikTok.
You got it on TikTok?
I got it on TikTok. In the last 6 months, I got like a clip of it from a streaming service saying, like, come watch It's a Disaster.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I will check. I know I sent the link. I curate TikTok for our mutual friend, Ronnie. So I'm sure I sent it to him. So I will send it to you.
Okay. Send it my way. You know, I started TikTok in like about 6 months ago.
Yeah. How do you feel about it?
I mean, it's kind of, you know, I'm just putting some quick, funny stuff that I think is funny up without any real hope for anything besides having some kind of creative outlet, you know? They're just quick little, I actually do a podcast with myself.
Nice.
And we have quick discussions. They're all like about a minute long, but it's been fun. It's been fun. It's a fun little app.
Yeah. I have it only on my iPad. I am not allowed by myself to have it on my phone. I just like, I have no self-control.
Yeah.
I mean, so the self-control is that I have to limit the device it's on.
Yeah. I mean, an hour will disappear just scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
Just scrolling.
Because there's two things for me. One, even though I say this podcast is like no algorithm, the TikTok algorithm is so good.
Yeah.
That you're like, yeah, I do like 90% of what you're showing me.
Yeah. I get a lot of dog videos.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people surprising their family members when they didn't think they were going to be at the
event. Oh, I love those. Mm-hmm.
What else is a common thread on there? Some basketball stuff. They must know I watch college basketball.
Yep.
A ton of college basketball stuff. So
yeah. And then I also, you know, when we were kids, we just flipped through channels. And there's something about TikTok that really gets that like nostalgic, just flipping through. Flip, 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 flip. It's just, that's what it feels like. Feels like what it used to be like to watch TV and not make a decision.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what streaming is too. Half the time you spend looking for what you actually want to watch. And sometimes by the time you find something, you're like, I'm just going to go to bed.
Yeah, absolutely. So I didn't bring you here to interrogate you about TikTok, which is tempting. But you have a new project out, a web series called Hi Blaze Miller that you're releasing with Crafty.
Yep.
And the first, as of the record, the first three episodes are out. It's releasing weekly.
Every Friday throughout the month of March. And then, we have three more we'll release. So a total of six episodes.
So I have seen all of it. No spoilers. I will behave. And loved it and thought it was brutal. You know, I listen to a lot of comedy podcasts that are based in LA. We saw each other last right before the strike, I think.
Right.
Yeah. After the COVID shutdown, but before the strike started, but the strike was looming.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to a lot of comedy podcasts where the people are actors and writers, and they're reflecting on just how hard it is to be a working creative in LA today. And this series of yours, while it's a comedy series, you are digging really deep on the truth of being a working actor today.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think the goal was to, you know, kind of get a little inside look into, you know, the struggle. I think a big component of just continuing through the years out here is, you know, the mental aspect. You really have to keep it positive and keep moving forward. Because if you worry about all the things that you didn't get, oh boy, you'd be in some trouble. But yeah, I you know, I was interested in kind of, you know, at the time, you know, the pandemic had happened. I'd written these things during the pandemic and, you know, I was living by myself for the first time since I don't know if I'd ever live by myself. You know, I moved to college, had roommates, moved to Chicago, had roommates, moved to Los Angeles, had roommates, and then kind of found myself without a roommate during, I had a dog, a little 10-pound cutie named Hap, but, you know, he doesn't always understand me.
No.
But
good listener.
Great
doesn't
listener.
Always reflect back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had actually jumped into some therapy just to kind of like, you know, have an outside perspective and ended up getting through that process and had this idea to sort of write these things and give a little inside look, but also, you know, examine the way that you could be your own worst critic. You know what I mean? On top of things, like the lack of support for oneself can be very detrimental. So, you know, I was interested in exploring that with myself because, you know, there is an inner dialogue that a lot of people don't see that goes on with you. Either they just see what you're presenting. And I think a lot of people go through that. But I was interested in kind of getting that voice in my head out in a representative way. And I would always, I don't know who said it, but it was like, if I treated my friends the way I treat myself, I wouldn't have any friends. Wouldn't have any friends. No.
Yeah.
So I really just wanted to kind of do something in a way that's, you know, was cathartic in a way, but, you know, funny and relatable and in hopes of maybe letting other folks know that, hey, you're not alone in that kind of negative self-talk, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So in this web series, you have like manifested, your inner voice is embodied, and you're playing both, you are face to face in a like very classic Hollywood way where you're playing twins essentially, right? You're playing both characters, you're face to face with yourself. You mentioned before we hit record, you had your cinematographer, you were the director, and that you, for the set, you used your own apartment. And what was the process of shooting, you know, did someone stand in for you, for inner voice you, when, like, how Blaze,
how did we do it? Well, you know, we shot over 7 Saturdays. I had a real small crew of good buddies that really were down for the project. So basically when we would, with what you're talking about with the cinematographer, we shot, I mean, it was a small apartment, small one bedroom basement apartment, almost like tiny, very tiny house, almost RV type living. The kitchen and the living room were basically the same. And then a bedroom, and we shot it 6 different ways. We wanted it to have a different feel per episode. So we were shooting through windows on different sides of the apartment, and we, you know, we got creative, but, you know, we just had my good buddy, Chris Bean, running sound, my buddy, Mitch Lamro, who was the director of photography, and then my good buddy, Marcus Jones, who, you know, as a producer. And so it was just the 4 of us on set. And as far as we would find a line, we would lock camera off, and then we would shoot, you know, we would take turns with me changing outfits. And basically I was acting just opposite an X on the wall for eyeline, and Marcus would read the lines off of camera. And, you know, the luxury of having written something, you have some liberties of playing around with words. And, but, you know, the thing about us being me acting opposite myself was the flow couldn't be on top of each other. So, you know, there would have to be a bit of a pause in between Marcus's line. That way we weren't talking over each other, even though we did get creative in the editing with kind of trying to do some overlapping of lines, just so it felt like they actually were in the room together. And that was a big goal of ours. Like, we didn't want it to feel like, oh, yep, they locked it off, they're waiting for each other to finish what they're saying. So, you know, we a big goal of our in the editing post-production process with our editor, Oliver Williams, who's so great and patient, you know, but yeah, that was sort of the process. And, you know, I tried to give a wide spectrum of deliveries in different ways, because once you get into post, you might have wanted a different take or have it said differently.
Yeah.
And luckily we were able to go in post and find everything we needed.
Yeah. So when you were at Second City and you're learning sketch, Second City does sketch, their process is improv to sketch, right? You improvise, and there's if some good ideas come up in that, you jot them down and then you write the sketch.
Yeah.
What was your writing process on this? You mentioned you did some therapy, and then, you know, as part of recovering from COVID, we all need therapy.
Sure.
But so what was your process of getting it on paper? Did you improvise with people about like what that would be like? Or was it really like, this is what I'm saying to myself on a daily basis, and I'm going to get it on paper and go from there?
Yeah, I think, you know, I actually had kept all of my auditions through COVID. all the self tapes that I had done. And I mean, it was an exorbitant amount. And I actually did a quick speed through of them and just little bits of me going, hi, Blaze. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so it sort of was inspired by that. I didn't want to use the actual footage from the real auditions. Yeah. And so I was just like, well, why don't I kind of explore this and have, you know, the slate of an audition be the title card in a way to break up the things. But it really, I just wanted to explore the ins and outs of, you know, auditioning at home by yourself, mm-hmm. but also just the struggle of keeping your head up, you know, in a time when, you know, everyone around you is, you know, going through the same thing, but the isolation is creating even more of a pile on, you know, to be, am I doing this life thing right?
Right.
So,
yeah.
To answer your question, like with the writing, it just started kind of flowing out of me, all these different instances. And then once I got all six, I wanted it to have, you know, an arc, because mm-hmm. I had never played around with an episodic thing on my own, you know, as a project. So I really wanted to explore what it was like to have installments for six episodes and follow a character on a journey mm-hmm. in an episodic way. So at the end, I started pulling the strings tighter and changing things within the script to kind of tie that arc together and build on it. And that even came even more on set too. Like when we started shooting, it was like, okay, wow, we can grow this and this and this. And when you have a bunch of good buddies around you that you trust, they have suggestions and you collaborate.
Yeah. Cause there is a scene that really gets at, like, especially early COVID, learning how to use our laptops, learning how to shoot, where you have a stool and then you've got books and then you've got the laptop and then you swap out some books for like a pasta box. And it's just, I'm like, oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember those days of like trying to figure out, like, you know, and if anyone, even who's not an actor, you know, if you had to do, you know, we did videos for people's birthdays or things you might have written a little script for. I think that moment is pretty universal at this point.
I feel like it is, you know, it was, I mean, it was true, just true to how it happened, you know, so many times, like, is the chair high enough? You can't adjust the chair. So you got to adjust the computer and then you got to make sure that, you know, there aren't pictures in the background, you know, just to have, because it was a small space. And a lot of time the ask for a clear background is a tough one to get, you know, while you're at your house.
Yeah. So Hi, Blaze Miller, available on Crafty, coming out weekly, six episodes. I will tell everybody, even if I wasn't your friend, I would have loved it. Thank God. Like, it is really touching. I think for people like me who listen to podcasts and listen to we have our parasocial relationships with these actors in LA and people that, and comedians and people that we want to see succeed, that this is a window into the life of what goes into the things we stream on our TVs. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. That's a nice way to look at it. I hadn't thought of it that way. Yeah, it's been fun. And it's interesting to see them rolling out now, finally, and getting some reaction. And like you're saying, like, most people, if they don't like it, they're sure as heck not going to reach out to you and say they do like it. Like, you know what I mean? It'll be, they just won't say anything. So I appreciate you taking the time to watch it. And I'm excited to see what people think about the next three episodes.
So the web series is what gave us and our birthday is what gave us a reason to talk today. But also on this podcast, we talk about people's favorite things. So where are we going to start today?
With favorite things.
Yeah. Well,
you know, we have so many favorite things, really. But how often do you actually, like, zero in on what actually is my favorite thing? And you could my dog, mm-hmm. you know, but I came up with, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, sometimes people are so anxious about upsetting their second favorite thing.
Oh,
like that choosing one can be sometimes very stressful for guests. So sometimes I'll just say something you love.
Right. My mom.
Your mom. Yes. She is someone you love.
Yes.
Not something you love.
You're right.
But what is a favorite thing that we will kick off with today?
Let's kick it off with sweatpants.
Awesome. I love it.
I mean, are you a sweatpant fan? Are you a supporter of sweatpants?
I am a supporter of comfy cozies,
which is
a broader category than sweatpants.
Yes. Well, I think they call it active wear now, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I super embraced comfy cozies during the pandemic and have not returned.
I think that was the shift. I think that was the shift in society. I mean, it used to be, I think getting caught in sweatpants used to be like, I was just running to the store and just threw these
on.
It's
laundry day.
Yeah. But now I think there's pride that comes from it. I feel like sweatpants are a representation of where you are in your day, you know?
Yeah.
And when I was thinking about my favorite thing, I was like, I was just looking forward to the end of the day to get home, take the shoes off, take the pants off, and put some sweatpants on, something cozy. And so I just said sweatpants because I really do. It is now a part of my day to end my day with sweatpants on.
Yeah. I think it might be the guy's equivalent to taking off your bra, which is a great moment in the day of many women.
I bet it is.
Yeah. It's awesome.
That's great.
All right. I want to time travel a little bit.
Okay.
Were you a sweatpants as a kid?
Oh, I was sweatpants as a kid. Yeah. I actually got a nickname from one of my dad's Marine Corps buddies back in the day because we were stationed my dad was stationed with us in Cuba, Guantanamo Bay for a while. And as a kid, I was probably like 3 years old, but mm-hmm. I would walk around with no shirt on, sweatpants, and cowboy boots. So my nickname was Big Pants. They gave me the nickname Big Pants because they were just these big baggy pants and cowboy boots.
And now I understand all of your usernames. Big Pants Miller.
That's it. Yeah.
So you were a sweatpant kid. And in the 80s, sweatpants weren't as comfortable as they are today.
No.
Right?
Yeah, I feel like during the 80s and 90s, I was wearing more of they were sweatpants. They were more soccer pants, and they were they were a little bit more slimming, you know, like tighter, I guess. So you could actually, if you needed to play in them, you could play in them.
Yeah.
But today's sweatpants, I feel the baggier, the better.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I was like, let me, have I ever looked up the definition of sweatpants? And it was kind of funny. It was they're baggy pants that are absorbent. And I kind of just like the idea that, you know, that's just another great attribute of sweatpants, that they are they can take on, you know, liquid.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're gonna
sounded really weird.
I was going to segue us out of it.
Yeah, let's move. Let's move on quickly.
Well, they can be one. If you're cooking, you don't need to get an apron out, right? Sweatpants, they're fine. Wipe your hands on your sweats.
Absolutely. They serve as a napkin.
Yeah.
And I would probably say of any of my pants, they get washed the most.
Mm-hmm. And also, if you're going to go and do a... There are so many movies, not maybe even so many, like Jodie Foster running, I think at the beginning of Silence of the Lambs, she's training in Quantico in like a full sweatsuit. Like she's wearing, she is jogging in sweatpants, which now seems insane.
It does
seem sweatpants are not for exercise.
No, well, you know, it's interesting because another part of that definition was that they are sweat inducing.
Oh, sweat inducing.
So maybe it was... Let's actually pull it up instead of me continuing to give you part of the definition. Because when's the last time you looked up sweatpants definition?
Literally never.
Loose fitting pants of soft, absorbent fabric usually with a drawstring at the waist, close-fitting or elastic cuffs at the ankle, commonly worn during athletic activity for warmth or to induce sweating. But that's not really the case. I don't wear my sweatpants for athletic activity. I wear them for no activity.
Right. Couch, bed, looking in the refrigerator.
Exactly.
Ordering delivery.
How many pairs of sweatpants do you have?
Of actual sweatpants that fit that definition, two.
Yeah.
I've got a purple pair of like capri sweatpants. Like, so they're cut off mid-calf.
They're at the calves, yeah.
They're at the calves. And then like a maroon pair that's like elastic at the ankle that if a single person ever saw me in, I would die of shame. Mm-hmm. They are not good-looking sweatpants.
Those are the best.
They are very comfortable.
Yeah.
I got them at a Walmart, so they are perfect. But they are not for public consumption.
No.
And then I have, like, there's this brand Universal Standard I'm wearing right now. A pair of pants that are, like, elastic waistband, no pockets, warm to work, but also warm to a friend's house last night to watch a movie.
Oh, nice.
I'm like, I can lay on the couch in these pants. So those are like professional sweatpants. And then there's a jogger at Old Navy that's more of like a jersey material. And I have like probably four of those.
Yeah.
So I have a whole week's worth of comfy, cozy pants.
You could wear comfy, cozy every day if you wanted.
Yeah.
I've got about three. I've got a blue pair, a gray pair. Oh, actually, I have a pair of my mom got me. She saw a sale at Lululemon.
Great.
They're not technically sweatpants, but they're, you know, a breathable, comfy pant, you know, but they're not, I wouldn't say that I would enjoy laying on the couch with them too much because it's not really a cotton. It's not really a cotton blend.
Yeah. That's more Lululemon, I think, is activewear.
Like
those are dog walking pants.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you, like, what are questions to ask about sweatpants?
What do we talk about sweatpants for? I don't know how much you really need to explore sweatpants. I do like that we looked up the definition of sweatpants.
Yeah.
And what it is. I mean, I do feel like the pandemic it opened the door for sweatpants.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the door has been open and it'll never be shut. I feel like sweatpants have a place in fashion now.
Yeah. Do you have a platonic ideal sweatpant that you're looking for? Like if you were going to add a fourth pair of sweats to your mix?
I left it at my mom's house in Tampa, but it's a old pair. They're Champion.
Mm-hmm.
Champion sweatpants. And they're actually, my brother-in-law played baseball for a long time. He was in and out of the majors for about 13 years. And he gifted my dad a pair of these sweatpants from the Pirates organization.
Okay.
And my brother-in-law is like taller than me. So the sweatpants are very long and baggy. But I dug into my dad's closet and pulled out these sweatpants. And they're the most comfortable sweatpants. I mean, there's no way I should be wearing these sweatpants
because
they're just completely way too big and baggy. But I need to get my mom to send me those. So that would be the fourth pair. But I'm always actively looking. A coworker of mine, she was wearing sweatpants at the work the other day, and they were tie-dyed. Tie-dyed.
Ooh, nice.
And I was like, all right, I'm with that.
Yeah.
I get behind that for sure.
Yeah.
So tie-dyed, to answer your question, tie-dyed sweatpants.
Okay. And properly worn in Champion sweatpants from the Pittsburgh Pirates.
From the Pittsburgh Pirates, yes.
Outstanding. So something else you put on your list was pizza places where you can get a slice.
Yes, yes. There's so many places.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious because when I think about LA, I don't think about being able to get a slice.
It's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, they're definitely places, you know.
Yeah.
I was at one the other day in Highland. There's a couple in Highland Park that do. You can go in and there'll be slices in the window and they'll pop it in the oven real quick and you're walking out with a slice. But a lot of places you can't get a slice just by walking into a pizza joint. You know, a lot of times you just got to get the whole pie. Where in Chicago or New York, I feel like they're just, it's always an option at every pizza. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I live not too far from one of, there's a small local chain called Chicago Pizza, mm-hmm. which is my go-to. Yeah. There's one on Montrose, a few blocks away from me. And one, Chicago Pizza has the best fried vegetables in the city. Battered, deep fried vegetables. I am not an actor, so I can eat all the deep fried vegetables I want. But they also have a slice window, which is such a treat.
Yeah, for sure. Because sometimes all you want is a slice. I mean, the last thing I need is a full pizza at my disposal most mm-hmm. times, because I'm going to eat the whole thing.
Right.
And it's going to be in a row. It'll be dinner.
Breakfast.
I'll eat the pizza in the morning because mm-hmm. I love, who doesn't love cold pizza?
It's the best.
But yeah, is Chicago Pizza, do they do, is it squares or do they do actual triangles?
For delivery thin crust, they do party squares.
Yeah.
But it would be hilarious if in the slice window they gave you just like a middle square with just no crust.
No crust. Yeah, that.
Like that's too much cheese, no crust.
Exactly. That's the kind of slice you don't want to pay for.
No. So they do they will do the triangle on a thin crust. They do triangles on their deep dish, but their slices are the big traditional slices.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying Los Angeles doesn't have them, but you gotta Google it first before mm-hmm. you show up at the location.
Yeah.
But I think actually pizza out in Los Angeles is having a, having its heyday. There's a lot of pizza places popping up. So
nice.
That and smash burgers. It was hot chicken everywhere.
Right.
Now it's smash burgers everywhere.
Yeah. Smash burgers are there. There was a place that Ronnie and I used to go called DMK. It's still open. I don't know why it fell out of our rotation, but peak smash burger in Chicago, I think, is sort of starting to wane, but there's au cheval, like the burgers are getting are creeping up in size and getting so many toppings that you can't eat them as a sandwich anymore.
Yeah.
And that to me is annoying.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like pizza with a fork.
Yeah. I am almost always eating my hamburger with a fork and knife now because it's just too much. It's too messy. Yeah.
You got to
cut
it. Or
once you pick it up, you can't put it down.
Yeah. So what's on the rise there now? Is there a new cuisine that's sort of starting to pop up everywhere?
I'm trying to think. I would say that boba teas are really starting to, like, you can get boba outside of Chinatown now. Like, you can get boba in Lincoln Square now, which is, like, I'm in Lincoln Square, Ravenswood. So I think boba is getting more popular. I keep pushing. I'll tell you the trend I keep pushing for, but I am not an influencer and have not made happen, is I really want soft pretzels to have their moment.
You know what? Outside of a mall.
Yeah.
And speaking of favorite things, you know, I like when I go back and visit my family, we are at the mall several times during the week.
Yeah.
And I'm always a yes. Like if my mom's like, let's go to the mall, I'm like, let's go.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to get a pretzel. I don't go to the mall without getting a pretzel from Auntie Anne's or
Wetzel's.
You got to get a pretzel.
Yeah.
But why don't we have brick and mortar pretzel shops outside of malls?
Right. And why can't you get like a flight of mustards or a flight of cheeses and mustards with a big. I went somewhere recently and it was a huge Bavarian soft pretzel, like a foot tall, that mm-hmm. they served on a banana stand. You know, the hook that you put your bananas on so they don't rot too fast? That.
Yeah.
And it was a pretzel served on a banana hook. And I'm like, why? We need more boutique, artisanal, soft pretzel joints.
I agree with you. I mean, maybe that's something that we can do together.
Yeah.
Maybe we can open up our own pretzel shop. I mean, I wouldn't know how to make a pretzel, but I am in support of a mustard flight.
Right.
With a pretzel.
Yeah. So that is what I want in the world. Are more soft pretzels.
I support that 100%.
Yeah. And I don't know. Like, we're still, I would say Chicago is still, hot chicken is still on the rise here.
Mm-hmm.
We got a Dave's hot chicken.
Yeah.
I had my friend Rob and I ordered hot chicken last night for dinner. So it's definitely, it's still a thing here for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it was a craze. It was a craze. And then I think honestly, right now, it from what I can gather, it's a lot of Smashburger places popping up everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, small little windows, a lot of, you know, food truck places that are now getting their own, you know,
getting the griddle.
Yeah. And doing their own location kind of stuff. So
nice.
Smashburgers seem to be the happening thing. And I mean, there's still a lot of hot chicken out there. Most definitely. So
the next time you're in Chicago, there's a new Detroit style pizza place that opened up not far from me called Fat Chris's.
Mm-hmm.
And when I order delivery from them, I'm sure they just think I am a lunatic because I will order. Here's the thing. The name is awful. This appetizer was named by Beavis and Butthead.
Okay.
So just fair warning.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Chubbies. They are breadsticks with cheese and pepperoni in them. Served with marinara and ranch sauce. Gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a pizza crust wrapped around pepperoni and cheese.
Yeah, that's not it's not a terrible name.
It's not a terrible name. Thankfully, I don't have to say it out loud. I just enter it into the online form. If I had to call and say, "Hi, this is Leah. I'd like 6 chubbies, please."
Yeah.
Like,
you know, I'm okay with the breadstick being filled with stuff. What I don't like being messed with on my pizza is the crust.
Yeah.
Don't put cheese in my crust.
No.
You know?
It never melts right. It's just like, oh, good, tepid string cheese.
Yeah. Thanks. That is the perfect way to describe cheese in a crust.
Yeah. Then I will get 2 slices because they'll deliver. So
they'll deliver slices.
They'll deliver big triangle New York slices, even though it's a Detroit pizza place.
Wow.
So I'll get 6 breadsticks, 2 slices, and then they sell a cinnamon and sugar pizza crust for dessert.
Wow. Mm.
Cinnamon sticks, but it's like a 10-inch pizza that's just butter, cinnamon, sugar, toss it in the oven.
Now we're talking.
And that is a great order for me.
And that's a great order to wear sweatpants with.
Yes. It's required.
You know, it's required.
Yeah. And I'll have friends come over and I'm like, "Hey, I'm just going to order some Chubbies."
You know, my there's a brand called Chubbies.
Oh, is there?
They have they do short shorts for men.
Mm. Okay, that makes sense.
Their name is Chubbies.
Yeah.
So my nephew told me about them. I own a pair now.
All right.
Yeah.
Are they outside of the house short shorts?
They're outside of the house short shorts, yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Because the inside of the house short shorts are really short.
What are your go-to pizza toppings?
You know, I am a pepperoni mushroom guy.
Okay.
I'll mess around with a jalapeno.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been known, my go-to is pepperoni mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going in for a slice, I love a cheese slice, just plain straight cheese.
Yep.
I'm also a Bianca guy. I love a white pizza.
Okay.
Like 4 or 5 cheese. The more cheese, the better. But I will do a barbecue chicken pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Barbecue chicken, red onion.
Yep.
That's not a common occurrence, but if I see one, like a slice in the window, I'd be known to do that.
Yeah.
How about you?
I like a pepperoni jalapeno black olive.
Ooh.
There is, I think, nobody in my life who will share that pizza with me. So that's fine. Or I'll do, like, Chicago's pizza has, like, one is Chicago style and one is, like, Chicago whatever. But it's pepperoni or sausage, green peppers, onions, and maybe black olives. Mm. And that's a classic combo.
You know, you know Home Run Pizza, right?
Yeah.
I think they're Chicago. I think they're Chicago based.
Yeah, I think so.
So frozen pizza.
Mm-hmm.
But our buddy Kevin told me, he was just like, "Oh, you can get a Home Run Pizza at Vaughn's out here," which is a Safeway affiliate grocery store.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, the other day I was on my way home and I was like, let me stop for a frozen pizza. I mean, you know, outside of, I was like, where am I going to get a slice? Let me try this Home Run Pizza.
Yeah.
pepperoni sausage.
Yep.
Cooked it up. Pretty darn good. Pretty darn good for a for a frozen pizza. And nice. I think all natural.
Okay. For frozen pizza, the cheaper the better. Jack's.
A Red Baron?
A Red Baron. Yeah, like thin crust.
Yeah.
Definitely some of the cheese is going to go to the bottom of my oven.
Yeah.
When I move out of this apartment, someone will clean it.
You know what a guilty pleasure of mine is, and I think it stems from my childhood, but Stouffer's French bread.
French bread. Mm-hmm.
They come two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are great. And then when those come out, I'll cut them even more. So they come in little rectangles. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are fantastic. High risk of burning your mouth.
Oh, such a high risk.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, what else do you burn your mouth really doing? Like soup, coffee, pizza.
Yeah.
You know,
I had a pretty dangerous chicken pot pie a few weeks ago.
Oh, they can be dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Too fast.
I like a pot pie. It's been a while since I had a pot pie.
I imagine it's not much of an LA thing because you got to have like the right level of dreary weather.
Yeah.
Like it's not a sunshine dish.
Maybe that's the next craze.
I'd love it. I would be thrilled. Pie. Little individual pot pies where everybody gets their own crust.
Yeah.
The dream.
I'm with that. Maybe they could serve the pretzels. We got ideas. Mm-hmm. It's
pretzels
comfort.
And pot pies.
Comfort
the P3.
Food. Yeah. Yeah. And maybe even a French onion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Could it have been last summer? No. Summer of 22. My dad and I went to New York to retrieve. He had some sculptures in an art show.
Oh, cool.
Pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
And we had them in storage in Chelsea. And so road tripped out there to bring things back. And the first day we were in New York, we're just like, well, we'll just walk until we find a slice. And we went, I think, a whole one block, you know, and found one of those corner pizza places in New York
mm-hmm.
where like the garage door is up and the chairs are in the gutter
because
mm-hmm. post-pandemic. So everything's outdoor seating now.
Yeah.
And just truly, I think we each got one or two slices and they put them, you know, just like that true New York get a slice experience. It was fabulous.
I love that. I just love a slice. I love the option of a slice.
So what is next for you, which is, I think, a terrible question to ask when you're in the middle of launching a project to be like, well, what comes next?
It's a great question. I'm riding this out. It's a great, you know, it's nice that I haven't had something release over time. So it's mm-hmm. been kind of fun to see who sticks with it, keeps coming back to watch. But, you know, the next project I want to work on that I'll actually, you know, make myself is I have this idea for a documentary in honor of my dad. And it sort of explores the familial ties that kind of bond us together humor wise, mm-hmm. you know, how senses of humor are passed down from generation to generation. Yeah. Jokes that you've mm-hmm. heard, you know, like your grandfather, your grandmother tell to your dad, to your now your niece and nephews are telling, you know what I mean?
Right.
I kind of want to explore that because my dad was a big dad joker, you know, and he was, whether they were ones that he made up or ones that he had heard along the way, he just always had a good joke. And, you know, it was, you know, it would bring laughter to you in the beginning. And then he would be telling the same jokes to your friends and they would love it. But you'd be like, Dad, you're embarrassing me you know, now seeing him tell the jokes to my niece and nephews and seeing the joy on their face to me now telling the jokes. You know what I mean?
Right.
Sort of that evolution of how your family can affect your sense of humor, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a project that I'm going to hopefully break ground on this year. Really, it just would get me on the road going out and talking with people, which I'm looking forward to. So Chicago would be one of my stops.
Great.
And, you know, I think right now I'm just trying to get the materials together on how I would put it together before I go and actually start shooting it. So get a little prep before. But aside from that, you know, I'm just trying to keep busy creatively without being overly critical of myself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just make something without any real plan for how I want it to be received or anything like that.
Yeah.
Just go out and make something without any constraints on expectation.
Mm-hmm. Something that just occurred to me, you know, thinking about High Blaze Miller, at some point during the pandemic on TikTok, there was this huge viral conversation as people realized that not everybody has an internal monologue, right? Like, that everybody doesn't experience words in their head. Some people have aphasia and don't have a mind's eye and can't visualize something before it happens. And, you know, I had a friend who lives upstairs from me who thought it was a literary device, that somebody thinking to themselves.
The inner monologue.
He's like, oh, it's a literary device. I'm like, no, that's my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? I know exactly what you're talking about. And I forget how the video goes. And it's just like, what do you mean people aren't continuously having inner thoughts and conversations, you know, like sort of that narrator, you know, device that you hear in movies or self narrating. But
yeah,
it's interesting. Yeah. You know what else I found out that the majority of the and my nephew told me about this, that the majority of the population isn't affected by asparagus.
Really?
Like after they eat asparagus, you know, there's a smell. You know, a distinct smell when using the bathroom. And I think the majority of the population doesn't experience that smell.
Weird.
Huh. And I think it's people's bodies break down asparagus differently. But I thought, wow, everyone experiences this, you know, the after effects of asparagus.
There's a scene in Love in the Time of Cholera by Gabriel Garcia Marquez where the protagonist, like one of his favorite things in life is peeing the morning after he's had a lot of asparagus because it makes him feel full of vigor. I'm sure that is what Gabriel Garcia Marquez wanted me to take away from that book was that scene. Like there are two scenes I think of when I think of that book, and that's one of them.
Yeah. It's an interesting, it's an interesting thing. And I thought it was shared. That was something that we all shared. I thought it was the equalizer in life, but it's not. And it was honestly, when he told me that fact, I had to look it up.
Yeah.
And, It's true. Some people don't experience the asparagus effect.
I think a more common effect is using the restroom after you've had, let's say, a beet salad and thinking you might need to go to the ER.
Oh, I've never experienced that.
Oh.
I don't eat a lot of beets, though.
Yeah, you do have to eat a lot of beets. Yeah. I think that certain beet dishes, like if you have like borscht or like a beet salad for dinner, beets really also had a moment in Chicago like 10 years ago. Beets and Brussels sprouts were on every menu.
For sure.
And I thought that beets should come with a temporary tattoo for the wrist of the hand that you wipe with to be like, remember, you had beets last night.
Yes.
That's too much information from Leah Jones, your host.
I like a little overshare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when you're on your road trip working on your documentary, I will dig up the photographic evidence. Do you remember a bit that Howie Mandel used to do where he put a glove over his head and blew it up?
I do remember that.
So my dad saw Howie Mandel do that probably on the Comedy Channel when the Comedy Channel was just like 3-minute chunks of stand-up comedians. And he was on a break from smoking, so his lungs got strong. And when I was in middle school, my dad learned how to do that. And we would go after a concert in middle school, we would go to Baskin Robbins. Mm-hmm. And at some point, my dad would take the other dads out to the Baskin Robbins parking lot, put a rubber glove on his head and blow it up.
That's like, hilarious. Huge. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Those are the things. That's the good stuff.
Yeah.
Because it was all, you know, obviously he probably got a kick out of it, but it was all for your entertainment.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And it was sort of like, you know, there's a level which you're like, oh, dad, yay, dad, right? Like you feel both.
Yeah, 100%.
The other dads thought it was cool. It was very, it was not easy to do.
No, no.
And then his other longstanding joke was if Smokey and the Bandit would come on TV, he would call us all to the living room for a family meeting. I've never seen the movie, but I have been called to the living room to watch it as a family hundreds of times.
I love it.
It's just a weird standing joke in our family. So I look forward to what you'll uncover.
Yeah. You know, one of my dad's longs, you know, they were always PG, family friendly. Yeah. You know, my dad didn't delve into the bluer yeah. humor, but his big one was, who's bigger, Mr. Bigger or Mr. Bigger's baby? Mr. Bigger's baby, because he's a little bigger. Oh, thank you for that laugh. my dad would be proud right now. He'd be proud of me. And he would be extra enthused by your genuine laughter.
It is genuine. I did not see where that was going, and I've never heard it before.
Yeah. That one's branded into my mind, my memory.
Yeah. So he's a little bigger.
He's a little bigger.
Blaze, where do you want people to find you on the internet?
Where do I want them to find me on the internet? I'll give a little quick shout out to Crafty. Crafty's this great YouTube channel. They curate short films, short series that they think are worthwhile for you to get your eyeballs on. And it's been great to be in partnership with them. So you can catch me there the next 3 weeks. And then when we wrap the launching of all 6 episodes, we're going to launch it as one piece.
Nice.
So you can watch it like you were able to in one sitting. But I have a little website now called twoblazes.com, and that's sort of where you can find a lot of my past work and stuff that got in the works. And then I'm on TikTok now, twoblazes as well.
All right. So is it the number 2 or the TWO?
The number 2, and then Blazes is spelled differently than my name. It's 2 and then BLAZES.
All right.
And the whole idea behind that was kind of, you know, a tip of the hat to my dad, because another one of my dad's big jokes was, hey, you know why it's hot around? You know why it's hot right now? And everyone would be like, no. And he'd be like, because there's two Blazes around. Because my dad's name is Blaze and my name is Blaze. So. He never got tired of saying that. There's a couple of Blazes around. Oh, all right, Dad. So, but yeah, you can find me on that. And yeah, that's all I got.
Well, I'll link to it all in the show notes. I will recommend that people dig out It's a Disaster.
Yeah.
And it's such a fun movie. I've watched it probably 5 or 6 times over the years. I know that Ronnie and I saw it. I think there was a theatrical release in Chicago, so we obviously saw it in the theater. And then when I see it available to rent or it gets popped up in my algorithm, I'm like, I will watch it again.
Yeah, that was a fun one to make. And we had a nice little resurgence on it during the pandemic because everyone was quarantined. And, you know, in the movie, we quarantined ourselves during a couple's brunch. And and you know, we still have hopes. Like during the pandemic, we did a Q&A. The whole cast got back together, and we were doing. They screened the movie as a fundraiser for independent movie theaters that were struggling during the pandemic, and we all got together for a Q&A, which was awesome. And there may be plans for a sequel.
Amazing.
Yeah,
I welcome it.
I welcome it too.
Yeah. You can find Finding Favorites on Instagram, Finding Faves Pod. Follow me on Instagram and TikTok, Shy Leah. Please rate and review Finding Favorites wherever you get your podcast. Apple Podcasts, give it 5 stars. Spotify, Good Pods. Recommend it to your friends. Leave a review. And Finding Favorites is edited and engineered by Rob Abrazzato. And keep enjoying your favorite things. Blaze, thank you so much.
Thank you, Leah. I really appreciate you having me on, and This is a great way to start my day. And it's always great to see you. And good, we got a birthday. You. We got a birthday coming up.
Yeah. So
March 23rd, same year. Do you know what time you were born?
6 p.m.
6 p.m. I was 12, 1236 p.m.
Okay.
So not too far apart.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're, I'm a Aries, Virgo rising, I think, or Virgo moon, Virgo rising.
Huh. But we're Aries, Pisces cusp, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is why whenever you say to someone, when they ask that you're an Aries, they're like, are you? I'm like, no, I am. I'll prove to you. I'm very stubborn.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for having me. And I appreciate you watching the series and giving me a little bit of a bump up in the world.
Of course. Of course.
Thank you for listening to Finding Favorites with Leah Jones. Please make sure to subscribe and drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Now, go out and enjoy your favorite things.